producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
The story you are about to hear may require accessory equipment in addition to your radio set, especially if you are a parent. We suggest that you provide yourself with a glass of water to slake the dryness in your mouth and melt the lump in your throat, and also a handkerchief or some other suitably absorbent material to cope with your tears. It is a story of unpremeditated murder, the unwitting and unplanned killing of a little boy by his father. It is a story in which fate overtakes love and tragedy lurks in the Blue Empyrean. It is a story you will not soon forget. Listen, listen then, as Miss Ruth Hussey stars in Firing Run, which begins in exactly 1 minute.
And now, Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Some of them look like killers, the aces of World War II and Korea. Others, like Mark, are gentle and won't talk of combat. Mark would never speak of war, but I know that what happened to him in the blue New Mexico sky that morning left a scar deeper than any he'd had in action. Mark had been an ace in Korea, another regular captain in the Air Force. He's so good that for years he's been the number one test pilot on guns and rockets at desert proving grounds. A pleasant life for all four of us, once I'd learned to get used to sand in the rugs and scorpions in the backyard. A settled life, almost like a civilian's, until that horrible morning. Mark had a rocket test flight, so the day started early with the four of us at breakfast.
Hap, would you pass the cream, please?
Oh, sure, Dan.
Hap, hold the handle toward your father. I've told you.
I forgot. Dad, can I watch the drone take off? Me too.
What, big shot?
Watch the Flying Fortress take off.
I don't want you kids cluttering up that flight line today. This is the last firing run of the series.
And there's also the small matter of school.
Sergeant Crenshaw said I should help him start the engines again.
You sure he did?
Yeah, Dad, honest.
All right.
Daddy, are you going to fly the big plane?
Nobody flies the big plane. It flies itself, stupid.
Hap, I warned you about talking to your brother like that.
Yes, Mother. Look, Petey, Lieutenant Cameron, you know him. He flies the big plane, only he flies it from the ground by radio. Then Dad shoots it down with rockets from his jet, see? Like this.
Finish your breakfast.
I could fly the big plane.
I'll bet.
I can, too, fly. I flew my scooter yesterday right over the PX.
You're a liar.
Hap, I'll not warn you again.
Well, he is a liar.
He's just going through a stage. Oh, now what? Oh, hi, Kathy.
Hello, Mrs. Stacy. Can Hap come out and play?
Sure. Go play with your new conquest, the colonel's daughter. What a politician.
Oh, I am not.
Your school bus is due in 20 minutes, so don't get lost.
Thank you, too, Mom.
You clear out, too, then. And don't bang the door. Oh, honestly.
Never a dull moment.
Is this the big day, darling?
It sure is. Every brass hat in the Pentagon's waiting for the results.
Goodness, don't miss.
You sound like Don Cameron. He offered to make the drone fly straight and level, so I couldn't miss.
Why don't you let him?
Oh, this is a test, Sue. Enemy planes don't fly straight and level. They twist and turn and evade. We don't prove the rocket if I shoot down a sitting duck just to look good.
That's my boy.
Well, I got a charge.
Will you be home for lunch?
Yes.
Hap, Petey, your father's leaving. Where are they?
Oh, skip it. Probably heading for the flight line to drive the sergeant nuts. Don't worry.
Don't worry, he said. And I didn't. As I headed back for the dishes, my mind was on the day's marketing, not on Hap or Petey. If I'd only known where they were.
Pap, my father told me to stay off the field.
It's okay, Kathy. Sergeant Crenshaw's my buddy. That's his role on the runway. Heck, he already started the engines. He said I could help. Well, come on. Let's go see him in the cockpit anyway.
Oh, golly, have my daddy shoot me.
Come on. You ever been in a flying fortress?
No,
well,
but...
come on, then.
Oh,
I want to come, too. You go home. You're a fibber. We don't want fibbers around.
I am not.
All right, Petey. I didn't mean it, but listen, you go home anyway. You might get hurt here. Come on, Kathy.
Do you think we ought to?
Come on, hang on to my hand.
It's so windy, it's blowing my breath.
It's just a prop, lad. Stay down low like this, okay?
I don't like it. Help us so bad.
Nah, come on. We'll win through the bomb bay. Here. Help me up.
It's spooky here.
Oh, follow me along the catwalk. Go slip. Oh, boy. Here's the flight deck. Here's where the navigator sits. And upstairs where...
Pat? What's wrong?
He's not here. The sergeant's not here.
Pap, I want to go.
Yeah, come on.
Second act of Suspense continues in 1 minute. And now, we continue with Act Two of Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
And one for your brother, and tell him it's time for the school bus.
They flew wearing earphones.
Hmm?
They flew wearing earphones.
I can't understand a word you say with your mouth full.
I said, Cap and Kathy flew wearing earphones.
Oh, Petey, don't fib like that.
We did.
Now, Petey, listen to me. Mommy knows you aren't really a fibber, but other people don't. So just try to say only what happened, what really and truly happened. All right?
Right.
Now, go and tell Hap it's time for the bus.
We flew away in the airplane with Kathy.
Petey, stop that fibbing.
We did, Mommy, really and truly. They got into his tummy, and then they flew away.
What kind of an airplane?
A big one.
A drone? Oh, no. Well, they couldn't have. Petey, say, help me. If you're lying, come on.
Air Force 647 from ground control. Air Force 647 from ground control. How do you read me, 647?
Ground control from Air Force 647. I read you badly. 3x3, very garbled.
Our transmitter's okay, Lieutenant. Must be his receiver.
Yeah, okay, Sergeant. Mark, you're coming in loud and clear. Our trouble's at your end.
Say again now, you're fading.
Air Force 647 from ground control. We read you four square. I say again,
I'm not going to worry about it now. When the drone reaches 12,000, I'll make my first firing run. Air Force 647, over and out.
What the... What's that dame doing here? Joe, tell her to get that cotton-picking car off the flight line.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Captain Stacy's wife. See what she wants, Sergeant. Air Force 647, this is ground control. I say again, Mark...
I'm afraid you can't stay out here, Mrs. Stacy. We're running a firing test.
Well, I know. I know, Sergeant. I'm not sure, of course, but I think... Well, it's possible that my boy is in the drone.
What? Cap?
I think so. And Colonel Master's daughter.
Oh, now, Mrs. Stacy, that couldn't be. It just couldn't.
I think they are.
No, ma'am. I buttoned up that drone myself. I started the engines and lined her up on the runway, and there's nobody in there.
Are you sure?
Absolutely certain. Now, you just drive on home, and I'll bet you'll find that young fellow robbing your icebox. Oh, hi there, Peeny.
Oh, Sergeant.
I didn't see you in the backseat. Know where your brother is, Peeny?
He says he saw them get in the plane.
Oh, so that's it. Well, my little boy did the same thing when he was your age. But, Petey, we don't like storytellers in the Air Force.
They did, too, Gideon. He got in the back, and you got out the front.
Oh?
And then you drove off.
Drove up in what?
That Jeep.
What Jeep? Which one?
The Jeep with the red flag on it.
He's right, Mrs. Stacy. He isn't telling a story.
Of Suspense follows in 1 minute. And now, we continue with Act Three of Firing Run, starring Miss Ruth Hussey. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
On the ground, it was horrible, with Don Cameron trying hopelessly to contact Mark, and Mark's unheeding voice crackling from the radio.
Jet 647 from ground control. Mark, break off. Do not, repeat, do not make your run. Mark, break off. Abort your run.
I could see the vapor trails now high over the desert, the white track of the ancient bomber crawling across the sky. Mark tracing a contrail swiftly and precisely above and behind it, overtaking it. It was horrible on the ground, but when I thought of the terrified children in the cockpit, then it was un...
I want my father. I want my father.
It's going to be all right, Kathy. Petey will kill him. The school bus must have gone by. Mom will ask Petey and he'll kill her.
Maybe. Maybe they won't believe him.
Yes, they will, too. Kathy, look, there he is.
What?
Who? Right there. Look, see, way high. See the contrail?
Oh, Dad, I want my father.
He's turning. Maybe he knows. He isn't coming toward us. He's turning up there. Like he's waiting.
Sue, it's no use. I can't contact him at all.
What are we going to do, Don?
I don't know. Pray that he misses.
That guy doesn't miss. Lieutenant, can't you dive her for the deck and land?
Dive that old racket. Pull the wings off it.
Wait. Wait. There he is again.
Ground control from 647. I'm in position. Commencing my first drive. Angels 15.
Suddenly,
cockpit check.
It was not Mark at all.
Switch on.
That cold, relentless voice chanting a song of death. It couldn't be Mark. It was the voice of a stranger, a killer, stalking my little boy.
Okay, fire range done. Stand by for first salvo.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Sue, snap out of it. Hang on to yourself.
Beginning base of action, Doc. Make it perfect.
Make it good, he says.
Now, look, Sue, I'll do my best. Just before he reaches his point of release, I'll try a high wing over. It'll shake up the kids, but if the wings stay on...
There he goes, Lieutenant. There he goes!
Wait. Wait. We've got to wait till the last second. Look, Sue.
No. No.
He missed. I can't hardly believe it. He missed. You foxed him, Lieutenant. This time.
Very nice, Dan. Very nice. I'll try the second salvo. I'll line up better this time.
Oh, darling, please.
He won't miss twice, Lieutenant. You know that.
I'm in position. Starting my second firing run. Miniature evasive action.
We can just do it again. Just once more. Lieutenant, you better start your wing over. He's ready to fire.
The contrail from the jet reached swiftly, almost scornfully, for the lumbering bomber. Something in its purposeful track told us all that within seconds the drone would be a screaming, flaming pyre for the two children. And there was nothing, nothing that any of us could do to save them. I thought of Mark, cool and deadly at the work he did so well. Only seconds from shattering his whole life. I felt Don tense at his control box, ready for a last, hopeless swerve of the clumsy ship. And then it came to me. The only way, the only chance. It might cost my son his life, but I knew I must try it, for I knew Mark. If I could find the courage... Don, don't!
What do you mean? Let go!
No, no. Don't try to evade him. Make it a sitting duck.
What do you mean?
He's nuts, Lieutenant. He'll plaster it.
No. No, he won't let you make him look good. Give him an easy target, Don. He'll let it go.
Suppose he doesn't.
I know him. Do it.
All right.
Oh, no. Straight and level with that guy? He'll splatter it all over the sky.
Approaching the release point. Are you evading? Firing.
Oh, no.
Left turn. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, here we go.
Roger, you're turning. I'm sliding in for a look.
See him? He's right on our wing.
Hey, there's somebody in the cockpit.
Can you do it, Don? Can you?
I've done it before, but never like this. Okay, Sergeant, watch my gauges. Easing off her power.
Manifold pressure 18 inches, sir.
Dropping her gear.
Gear down, sir.
I can do without that. Flaps down, Sergeant.
Flaps down, sir.
It was minutes, but it seemed hours before the big plane lumbered into the pattern, wheels reaching awkwardly for the runway. I closed my eyes and prayed. And then... Two very shaky children were helped out. All Petey said was, "See, he did too fly the airplane. And to this day, he thinks his brother can fly." Mark's knees buckled when he climbed from his jet. He knelt on the flight line and held Hap and Kathy closely, very closely for a long moment. And when he looked into my eyes, I saw gratitude and faith. He still tests guns and rockets. But sometimes in the evening after a flight, I catch a distant look in his eye. Know that he's closing on that ancient flying fortress over New Mexico. And then I go to him and touch his lips and talk of other things.
Suspense. In which Mithruth Hussey starred in William N. Robeson's production of Firing Run, written by Michael Frost. Supporting Miss Hussey in Firing Run, Ben Ender, Eddie Firestone, Dick Veal, Sam Beers, and Ken Christie. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.